So the message we have today is called, It Will Be Okay. All right? And really where this comes from is I had a conversation with my nephew, Arthur. I asked for prayers a few weeks back. Ever since he was a young child, he has had vision problems. And I think going back all the way to about the age of five, my dad noticed it when he was visiting down in North Carolina. And they were building a deck, and Arthur couldn't hit the nail. And it came out that he couldn't see the nail in which to hit it. So then my sister ended up taking him to an eye doctor. What do they call those people, Tom? This is a big test. Yeah, and so...
What'd you say?
And so... They found out that he had some type of infection around his retina, and it was really destroying his vision. They put him on a massive number of steroids and stuff, and it was just really difficult to, for him to be able to, lead a normal life, but he was restricted, just as anybody that's got some type of disability to be able to do that. His whole life has been like that. He's had many, many surgeries and stuff. What's happened just recently, Arthur explained it to me, is that 15 years ago or so, he had a stent put in his eye to relieve the pressure that's in there. That stent has since gotten plugged, and he's been having pressure problems inside of his eye, so they put a new stent in. Well, the medication they've been giving him keeps the fluid from going into the eye because his eyes were swelling, so they needed to get rid of the pressure. I know this is a lot of technical terms, but just to explain it. So when they put the new stent in, he wasn't producing the moisture in his eye, so his eye was shrinking. Because it was shrinking, he could see the vision, just a line of vision, and that line of vision just slowly got smaller and smaller until there was nothing in that eye, if you can just understand that. So they've, since then, closed up that stent, and they've now getting so he's starting to make his own fluid in his eye again, so there's getting to be some vision coming back, but it's not the same as what it was, but he's some vision. And so we talked about it, and it really comes down to like some of the discussion that we had is that when you start going through really difficult times, things are going to be life changing and there's nothing you can do about it, right? I'm going to say it will be okay. All right? And I know each and every one of us have gone through something, either physical, emotional, situational, job stuff, relationship, finance, difficulties. And, we have, a lot of times, we've come out of that like a different person in a way because of that experience. And so today's message really is about just letting you know there's lots of scripture out there that clarifies the aspect that it will be okay. And I'm going to tell you why it's going to be okay according to scripture and stuff, right? That's where we're going to be at. So let's just begin with prayer. Father, I do thank you for this time that we have today. I thank you for for bringing us all here, each and every one of us, for a purpose. And I know that. I know that it's going to be important for us to be able to hear your words. So I pray that the Holy Spirit just takes what's spoken, lays it on our heart gently, and just allows the truth within that to be something to strengthen us. I thank you that we have the greatness of your goodness to be there with us. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so Arthur really is a very special person. He's given me material to speak to individuals that have come and spoke to me personally about things. And he's very, very dedicated to the Lord. His wife is a result of that. She's very dedicated. Their two boys are very dedicated. They're active in the church. And it's just a blessing to be able to see that come from a family, from my sister, who doesn't want anything to do with God.
He had a grandma.
He had a grandmother. And it's just like Rogi coming in with her grandboys. You know, is very much the same thing. And it's just very, very special to be able to see that. Yeah, and Harriet was his grandmother's name. Very special, very, I don't know, spiritual woman, if you want to call it that. She was just a woman with a heart of gold, you know, and just a pleasantry about her that just everybody knew. And it's funny how those individuals make a big difference in our lives. All right, so we're going to be looking at things that happen in our lives and the effects that kind of come with that. And I got lots of scriptures that relate to things that happen in our lives and how God responds to those things. So first off, we're going to go to this verse here in Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. And it's after Jesus has fed the 5,000. It's after Jesus has walked on the water, right? And that feeding the 5,000 and the word of that getting out, the word of Jesus walking on the water, and just the situation that was going around at the time where there was a lot of sickness, a lot of ailments, and there was a man called Jesus that for some reason had the ability to remove that sickness from people. So let's read the scripture here and just think about back in the days, I know they may have had some type of doctors, you know, but not like the technology we have today. People lived with their ailments probably much more than what we want to hear. It says this, that it says, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. Right? So somehow, there's something about him that they saw. And it's probably, it's like, he's the one that does all this healing. He's the one that's coming around and being that prophet. He says, they ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Imagine if that happened today. Right? With all of our social media and stuff, I don't think Jesus would have room enough to fit all of those people wherever he was, because everybody would be coming to him. I know there's, you know, those people that have that terminal cancer. There is no hope in terms of a future life on this earth because of that, or for whatever things that have happened. People want to be healed. You see this in scripture because it changes their life. It changes what their dreams are, what their hopes are, to have that sickness and stuff. People came to Jesus, and I don't believe Jesus ever turned someone away. Not one person. Now, some of those people may not have believed in who Jesus was, but regardless, Jesus never turned them away. All right, that's important to know, is that within just the sicknesses that we have, that God is willing to heal those sicknesses. Sometimes they could just be a minor thing. Sometimes they could be a very difficult thing. We bring those things up in prayer, you know, to heal. You know, whatever it is, if they're a bad cold, whether it's COVID, whether it's, you know, arthritis. You know, those things we are all brought up before the Lord. And we give that to the Lord, just as these people here were giving their sickness to Him and touching His robe. Even the least of that, if not Jesus touching His hands on them. And then we get into a situation also where, you know, Paul was a preacher. In fact, sometimes, to be honest with you, he preaches a lot longer than I do. And when he does, sometimes people fall asleep. And there's scripture in Acts where, you know, he was preaching so long that this person was sitting there and he fell and died. Can you imagine that happening during a service that was going on? It's like, But accidents happen. And we look at the scripture here. We're going to go to Acts 20, 9 through 10. It says, seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." And he walked out as he walked in. You know, Scripture says that he did that sort of thing. You know, accidents happen. Sometimes there's things that happen to us in our lives that we have no control of. Right? A person T-bones us in the car and we end up, you know, damaged. Sometimes there's accidents where we just trip. Right, Pete? and we just have no, you know, there's no control over that sort of thing where it just happens. We have hurricanes that come through. You know, these are accidental things that, you know, that we have absolutely no control over. Sometimes, you know, the sicknesses that we have, we do have control over. Right, the things that we eat, you know, the things that we put into our bodies, whether we, you know, smoke or drink or, you know, do things where, you know, our body's just really not designed to handle those sort of things. But these ones here are accidental. Even when it's accidental, it seems like God is there for you during those times. And we have other situations where we do have some sicknesses, and some of those sicknesses are really severe, and they're life changing. So let's go to a situation in this area where Jesus actually goes to the home of Jairus, which is a synagogue leader. And Jairus had come to Jesus saying, "Please, please, you need to heal my daughter. She's so sick, and she's, you know, that she's going to die." Well, let's look at the story. It says, when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him because they knew that she was dead. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with them and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Truth be told, I would be too. Right, and to be able to experience my child dying and then coming back to life because of the touch of Jesus and the words that he spoke to be able to do that. And we're looking at, you know, so, you know, we've got regular sicknesses we have accidental things we have, and then we have those severe sicknesses. We don't know about this daughter, whether she had been sick for an extremely long period of time to get over this, or whether it was just a strong sickness that was really we know that Jairus, being a synagogue leader, right, basically a Pharisee, coming to Jesus, who the Pharisees did not like, right, he was in a corner. He had no other place in which to go. Jesus healed. We get to another situation, even in the same book here in Mark, where a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, spent all of her money on doctors and some type of cure, never to be taken care of, never to be feeling better. And she's at, you know, that 11th hour where there's nothing left. And then, you know, you folks, you know that when you bleed an awful lot, you lose your energy, you lose your drive, you lose, you know, your cognitive thoughts, because you just, there's just nothing there. All you want to do is sleep, and there's just no energy that comes to it. And you look at this woman here who takes the last bit of energy that she has in order to be able to come to Jesus. So in Mark 5, 24 through 29, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Jesus calls her out. Who touched my cloak? Can you just imagine how she must have cowered? Because she knew she stole something from Jesus. Probably the same way I stole that Gideon Bible, you know, when I was back in like 17 years old, because I wanted God's Word and I stole it and I knew it was wrong. You know, well, it wasn't wrong actually. It was the right thing to do. But I thought it was something wrong. And it's, even for this woman here, it was the right thing for her to come to Jesus. It was the right thing for her to be able to touch. But then, when you get called out for it in front of a public setting, because you have to understand that when there's bodily fluids coming out, you are unclean. You are not to be in a public setting. Right? And so she got called out. But she was told that she was freed of that. And because of her faith. So these long-term sicknesses that are there for years, changing your lifestyle, changing what you can do, changing your finances and the people around you, God is there for there. And think about those that where we have either ourselves and our youth and our destructiveness that we have, or we have a child that's destructive to society because of the choices that they have made, either through drug use, alcohol, or because they're just a violent child. Think about that in terms of what God does for them. So we can go all the way here where Jesus has gone across in Luke 8:26-27. It says they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. He had been chained up because the people around him cannot contain him. The guy would bust the chains, and he was living basically in a cemetery, away from society, because society rejected him because of who he was. Yes, he was possessed by demons, but the destruction that he did, right? That's what people saw. That's what people knew him as. So can you imagine then, when people came up to where Jesus was, and here was this man sitting in plain clothes, peaceful with others, and being able to witness that Jesus had cast out not just the one demon that was in there, but the legion of demons that were in him. So even if we're destructive, our past has been a very dark cloud over us. Jesus even heals that. So now we're getting into a situation where another one where we're going to be talking about a rich man and another man called Lazarus. Lazarus was a man that had nothing. It appears that he had no family, because he was only at the gates of this rich man's place begging and just hoping for the scraps that would come from the table of this rich man that he was able to do that. Now I got to thinking about this. Lazarus was outside the gates. So where would he get the food scraps from inside? But from the trash. That's where he got his food. Right? And he had all these sores on him. The dogs would come over and lick his sores. And eventually the two die. You know, both of them die. And there's a whole story that goes along with it. But I want you to look at this here. In Luke 16:19-21, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple, fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. We know, as we read on to the scripture here, is that Lazarus is placed in heaven and the rich man goes to hell. Lazarus is in heaven for eternity. The rich man's in hell for eternity. It was Lazarus that knew God, not the rich man. It was Lazarus that had nothing to give, but yet knew God. It was the rich man that had every ability in which to be a servant to those around him, to share the wealth that God has blessed him with, and refused to do that. So that when you are alone, when you have no family, that when there is nobody there to comfort you when you need people, God is there. That's why I say, you know, it will be okay. Because we have an individual, God, who cares very much for us, that He's not going to just leave us. And you wonder about all of these stories that I've been talking about in terms of, yeah, there seems to be a good positive ending. And you're thinking, where's mine? Right? I've been dealing with this for a long time. Where is mine? Well, yeah, some of the sicknesses were short, but some of them were very dramatic. Instantaneous death, falling out of a window. Right? And there was the other sickness with the 12-year-old girl. There was a long-term sickness with the woman that had been bleeding. There is the destructive sickness in an individual for years. And they must have felt the same thing. Where is my healing? When am I going to get over this? Because sometimes it's years that goes on. But we can see in Scripture here that there is an end to that. And that end is with knowing Jesus and knowing the goodness that comes from that, that there will be a positive end. Amen? Loretta, I see your hand up.
She woke up, I think, before the end of the dream. But the next day she was troubled by the dream and she felt herself, and thought that was really weird, and she did not find it. But as the day went on, it troubled her more, and she thought, I could check again, and she felt herself, and she felt a rope. First, she thought it was
a tumor?
No, first, she thought it was just
a pus sac or something, a cyst?
Guys, can you get cut out and put screen?
Oh, appendix.
Hernia.
Okay. We'll get there.
They got dropped and ignored. And it was tumors and it was cancerous. She had to go for a test for the bones because it's a lymphoma. It's not in the bones, praise God. It's nowhere else in her body. She had a PET scan, praise God. She is praising God for it. She didn't ask Richard. That was the Lord, and she knows that she's sharing it on social media. And people are like, it's God who's using that. And someone says, Lord, you know, your story is just, God's added kindling to it. Okay. I have this nephew in Rochester, niece, two different families, but, and I'm so glad I share so much, but I've got this huge family. You guys are going to have stories for years, probably. Anyway, he's in Rochester with a brain tumor. It's cancerous, inoperable brain tumor. They're doing radiation, now trying to shrink, at least it's different spots. He says it's like blood work that went, is spattered in water and it's here and there, wandering in the brain. And he must be thinking, and he served God when he was a teenager. Oh, I pray that you guys will, I don't know if he doesn't sound like he's calling out to God now at all. I just pray that that's what he would return to God for whatever God. But he must be thinking when he hears this story, well, where's mine? Where's my miracle? You know, but, so please keep in mind. Sometimes I do God's ways are not our ways, and I'm like, Lord, you warned her in a dream, and so it wouldn't get any worse, and they're taking care of it. And my nephew's got a little child and whatever. But God's ways are not our ways, but let's hear the end of this.
Actually, no, that's really good, because you're leading right into where we're going to be going, Loretta. So it's like God's working. And so thank you for sharing on that. We've got these situations, you know, whether it's just a sickness, accidental injury, or some whatever it could be, severe sickness, long-term sicknesses, or just where you're like damaging society. And there's lots of other scripture verses I could throw in there for other things, but this is just the idea that we've got here. We've got loneliness in there too. Then there is a situation where all of a sudden, where there was a man that was blind. And the Pharisee, or the disciples come to Jesus, and they want to know, was this man blind because of his parents' sin or because of his sin? Because you understand that whenever somebody was sick, it was a punishment. It was basically in the Jewish realm that if you were unsick, that meant you were a very holy person, because obviously God has blessed you. But if you were a sickly person, leprosy or some other type of sickness, you know, you were an outcast because you have done something really wrong. God's punishing you and keeping you separate from the rest of society. So this is a big question. But I want you to look at what Jesus says. And so John 9:1-3 says this. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is Jesus' response. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Right? And it's basically, there's nothing they had done that caused this, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. So this man was blind, and he was of age, so it wasn't like he was just a little boy and all of a sudden they realized he was blind, and you know, he was a full-grown man, responsible to make his own decisions. He was blind all of those years for this reason, so that God might be displayed in his life. So Jesus came through, healed his blindness, and the Pharisees wanted to know who did the healing. And this man's like, oh, you want to believe in Jesus too? You know, that really caused some friction right there between the two of them. But the whole point was, this man knew that he couldn't see, and then he knew that he could see because of Jesus. Who gets the credit? Jesus gets the credit. Had this man not been blind, this question never would have arisen. This man would never have challenged the Pharisees to believe in Jesus. And this man himself probably would never have believed in Jesus. So then I'm going to ask a question. Was the blindness worth it? Sure, so long as it's somebody else, right? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it is worth it, because he's come to know Jesus because of that. Others have come to know Jesus because of his blindness, because of his ailment that was there.
My sister-in-law always told me, if you're blind, to show other people how lucky they are.
So blessed.
There's truth in that. There's truth in that, yes.
I don't know.
Pastor, can I say something?
Sure.
If I had never gotten sepsis in 2010, I've been unable to take care of myself for a year, and I would have never moved out of the house that I was in and moved into the house that I moved in, where I was able to go to a church where I was born again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we can look back now and say, you know, thank God for that. But in the midst of it, it's hard. And you know, we all know that it's hard going through there. But to be able to give God the praise afterwards, and to know that our relationship with him has changed because of that sickness, that ailment, the things that we have done, we've come to accept him as our Lord and Savior. It's pretty awesome to be able to do that. Even Paul speaks about that himself. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, right? Paul, minister for God, church planter, a healer, you know, evangelist, that you can just put all that together. And this guy's a pretty powerful dude, you know, going around from town to town, planting churches, right? And he says, to keep me from, you know, being conceited and stuff, right? He says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. There's a lot of theologians that go along with that and trying to decide what that was, whether that was some of his physical ailments, whether it was the people that were following him. Regardless, it doesn't really matter. The point is this. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Right? How many times have we pleaded with the Lord to take our sickness, our situational thing, our financial issue away from us because I'm going to be a much better person without that, and it doesn't go. Right? And here he says, finally, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So what Paul does, he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because that's when God can really show Himself. And people know it's not you, it's God in you. I know. I'm thinking the same thing. I don't want the persecution. I don't want those difficulties. I don't want the hardships or the insults that go with it. I want to live a good life, you know, and be able to do that sort of thing. Some people do get that opportunity and know God and can share God. And other people, for some reason, that's what their life deals with them. For some reason, God has given that to them. We don't know why. God does, though. Right? There's a purpose for everything that's in there. So, we get to this next verse that kind of brings us right to what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 27, what is it? 7 through 10, where are we? 14 through 18. Am I in the right one?
14
through 18. 1 Thessalonians, yeah. Okay. All right, so I've got it in here. It says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Right? So when Jesus, we're looking at that those that have died knowing Him, there is a future for them. They may have died of a sickness. They may have died of an accident. They may have died of loneliness. But because they knew Jesus and believed in Him, that there's going to be a future for them. It says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There is a hope for those that die in this world that know Christ while they're in the world. And the suffering that they have gone through, God's going to remove every bit of that because they're now going to be in a heaven where there is no suffering, where there is no sickness, where there is no gnashing of teeth or crying of the eyes, sorrow, loneliness, right? There is no death. There is no sin. So when I say it will be okay, I mean that. That when the time comes and the Lord comes, you will be raised anew. Right? And it's like we worry about the here and the now. And there's a purpose for the here and the now, but there is a hope in the future, regardless of your situation and where you are. And so we continue on. He says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Yes, these are one of the things that we should be talking about. These are the things that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and not just on our ailments. We're going to have ailments. That's part of life. And everyone has different types of ailments, just as we've gone through Scripture. But in every one of them, there's a positive ending, whether there's death or not.
I praise God that I got to raise my babies and saw my babies until they were teenagers. You know, I could see them and got to do that. And thank God for that part.
Yeah, very much so. Let me give me your last scripture verse, which is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. It says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Okay, again, these are the things we need to hone in on when Scripture says trustworthy. All right, so stick it in your head. Let's see what it says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who's a sinner? We all are, right? That's why He came. Because the penalty of sin is what? Death. And Jesus took that upon Himself. He says, right? And then Paul is saying, of whom I am the worst. And why would Paul say he is the worst of all sinners? Other than the fact he knows his past. He persecuted Christians. His intent was to remove the movement of the Christianity and to keep the Judaism, the old traditionalist stuff there, that really the law that had no value at all anymore. What we now live in a covenant is the covenant of grace. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might be displayed, or might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Paul knew that his walk with God, however atrocious it was with him as a Pharisee, but the way that he is now, the way he responds to the way he was and to those around him, is now of love. And that love is of what God was saying. So Marianne, what you were doing right in the very beginning, you know, we are to show that love. It's not our love that we're showing. It's God's love in us that just comes out in many different ways that we can share one another and how special that is. Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. How does He do that? Well, sometimes there's accidents in our lives that draw us to Christ. Sometimes we get sick. And that might refocus us to get into God's realm, into His sanctuary place. Maybe we are suffering a long-term situation, whether it's financial, emotional, you know, relationship, whatever, or sickness, that we just need God all the more to be able to make it through those things. Maybe we have a life of unrest where there just seems to be a trail of destruction wherever we go. Just can't seem to help it. I've got some students at school. I can't help myself. You know, he opens the door. Well, he happened to kick the door and broke the glass. You know, stuff like that just follows him wherever he goes. Right? But if you know Jesus, through all of that, He can use every one of those things to show His glory, His mercy. So that not only that you might come closer to know God, but those around you may know God and His glory as well. So is it a bad thing to be sick? Is it a bad thing to go through things? It feels bad, I know. But if God can be glorified through that, praise God. The death of Stephen, the first martyr, forced the believers to leave Jerusalem and scatter because of the persecution that was there. Do you know what happened as a result of that? Thousands of people came to know Christ. So was Stephen's death a bad thing? Yes and no. He was a very spiritual individual. If he had stuck around, he would have been able to, you know, do much more than what he did as a dead person. But his dying moved individuals to a situation where others would come to know Christ. And in the end, that is praiseworthy. So I'm going to come back to Arthur and our conversation that we had. And I don't think Arthur's listening to this, but even if it does, it's fine. Arthur's okay with losing his sight. He may not lose it, and he may lose it, but Arthur knows that he has something greater than just vision. He has God in his heart. He has a wife that knows the Lord. He has two children that are on fire for the Lord. And he's thankful. And he feels that the way he responds to losing his sight will make a difference in somebody else's life. So he's not depressed. He's not worried at all about it. He's on 100% disability because he can't do his work, obviously. He's doing. He's hoping that he can go back to work soon, get off that disability. But if he has to go back on disability, he's got something greater than his own body and the frailness that our bodies go through all the time. He has Christ. That was a powerful conversation because even he moved me. And I like that. Yeah, yeah.
Can I share a quick story?
That's what we're here for.
Years ago, I read a story where there were Muslims in the Golan Heights in Israel who had turned Christian. The other Muslims raided these guys and were actually murdering them. And when some of them were going out the back door, one of them said, "Wait." One of their guys had got caught in the front yard. And this guy says, "Don't worry, he's a Christian. It's okay."
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, what a profound statement. It's okay, he's a Christian.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I have a little story, too, if I could share.
Of course you can.
Well, this week we had to let, and my supervisor and myself had to let someone go. And that was very hard. And I had to bring him around to gather his stuff. And I said, "I am sorry. I'm sorry that, you know, you let go." I said, "But it will be okay."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, "I want you to know you have been the best boss." So, I mean, he was kind to me when he was being let go, but I wanted to reassure him he would find something better. So that happened this week, and he, you know, he was gracious, and I was thankful for that too.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And I do think he heard about the Lord when he was at work, which doesn't happen very often. So.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't help but wonder if who knows God's ways and not ours, but if that blindness brought his mother to Jesus,
yeah.
The one who is not spiritual,
yeah.
It is whatever she is, if that would bring her to the Lord, I bet he would say, "Will the Lord and yes, Lord."
It was worth it, yeah.
Yeah.
So when Doran mentioned to Terry, that Terry spoke up and said, "Here, Lord, here I am." Maybe we need to say the same too. You know, it was pretty profound. And Hope's brother Norman died of pancreatic cancer, and it's like he was a very gentle-spirited Christian that just did a lot for other people, and people would ask him, "Why would God do that to him?" And his response, do you remember what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Father, I ask that you just be with us. And as we go through life, we know there's troubles, we know there's struggles. Because we're Christian doesn't mean that we're going to be exempt from those things. Being Christian means that God will be with us through those events. And when it's all over, and this life is gone, we're going to be in a place where there is just beauty, where there's love. And that's God's promise. So Lord, give us the strength to carry through. Not just so that we can bear things with a smile on our face, but we can still cry.
You know, in my blindness, people will, my kids are hurting more than I am. My son says, poor mom, don't do that. I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. I'm sorry. See, you got me. But it's harder on the family than it is me. I'm okay. I'm surviving. I have people that help me. Don't sympathize. Don't say poor man. Don't. Because I'm okay.
Yep. You are special too, Bev, because you've still got the wit about you, and it doesn't. It kind of goes for all of us, but God, I just thank you. I thank you for this life that we have here and now. It may not be a perfect one, but for some reason it seems perfect to you, and you've made it perfect, so that your will can be done, and your goodness can be accomplished around us. Thank you for using us, Lord, for allowing us to be your servant. Share the gospel. Share the love that you have with us. We pray all of this through Christ. Amen.